damn, it's back.
Episode 17.
We're teenagers, y'all.
This is Anna.
This is Shereen.
Today we're going to talk about a quick roundup of Saudi Arabia stuff and all the super sexy stuff that's going on over there.
Super sexy at the Ritz-Carlton. Mm. We're also going to give you some updates about America and Trump and the dumb shits he's up to.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to talk a little about Syria being on their shit when it comes to climate control.
Yeah. And we're also going to get into a really special guest.
Yeah, we have a very special guest by the name of Miles Gray, not to be confused with Miles Davis, because we couldn't get Miles Davis, so we had to end up with
canceled.
Miles Gray.
He canceled, and we already made the episode pick, so we had to keep someone with the name Miles.
Yeah.
So stay tuned. It's a great episode. Say hi, Miles.
Hi.
Woo!
Who are we? Where did we come from? Who do we become? What is it to be? What to be is it? Where are we? Who are my parents? Where are my pants? Why were we born?
We are ethnically ambiguous.
And we are back with episode 17.
17.
That's right. We are a teenager now. Fuck you, Mom!
We can't buy cigarettes yet.
We can't? Oh, no, you're right. It's 21 now.
I thought it was 18.
No, they upped it.
Oh, well, either way, we can't buy cigarettes.
Can't buy those Swisher Sweets.
No.
But it's okay, because if I stand outside a 7-Eleven long enough, some shady fuck will buy it for me. And I have been that shady fuck.
Wait, really?
Many times. Oh, yeah. If a teen's like, can you get me some Swishers? I'm like, got some cash? I'm not above it. Whatever. Who cares? Kids are bad. I'm bad. I ain't here to make no, assumptions or judgments about these little childries.
We're still minors, so we have time to commit, a really bad crime and go to juvie instead of, real jail.
God, I wish we had, a door slamming sound effect for our teen years. Our podcast teen years.
Yeah.
I didn't mean fuck you, Mom. Mom, I love you. You are the only person that cares about me. I'm learning.
Hey.
No, it's okay. It's Kay. My mom has been to Saudi Arabia. It's true. She turned her back on me when I was in 10th grade to go on pilgrimage to Mecca.
Hey, I was in 7th.
You know the rule is you're not supposed to go unless you have, nothing left.
Wait, what?
You're supposed to go after all your, responsibilities are done.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, but Muslims straight up ignore that rule. Well, shit, I need a vacay to pilgrimage to Hajj.
No, we were watched by this older woman that my mom is friends with, and she got into almost a car accident when she was driving us to school. It was really insane.
Dude, I was watched by my dad and his crazy ass alcoholic, drinking, smoking, party ass best friend, and so it was 2 months with just them. And
2 months?
Yeah, my mom straight bounced. It was just I gotta go find myself. And it was just me left in the house at that
Muslim
point.
Because
my brother had moved down and been all gangster and shit. And yeah, it was just me, my dad, and his best friend, and the two of them just partying for weeks, and me being like, food, please, food. And them being like, oh, right, you, okay.
Yeah, we
okay.
had Pizza Hut, I remember. Yeah. Yeah, whatever.
Anyway, so trials and tribulations of children of pilgrims.
Muslim pilgrimage, yeah.
Okay, this is a very special episode because we have a very special guest. At my day job that I talk about all the time,
I
talk very positively about it, correct, Shereen?
You love your job.
Yes, it's great.
You love your job. No one loves your job more than you.
Yes, don't be snitching on me on Twitter right now. Got some snitches that follow this podcast. But, so one of my hosts is Miles Gray, and he's here today. Say hi, Miles.
I'm here. What's
up?
Your boy's in the building.
The reason we're having him on, because if you've ever looked into Miles' eyes, he's incredibly ethnically ambiguous.
He's very ethnically ambiguous. I know nothing about you, Miles. I have no idea what ethnicity you are.
It's wild, yeah. Most people don't.
Yeah.
And my ethnicity...
That's some power.
It's, I'm a chameleon. Whenever it gets me free shit, I'm that ethnicity.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Exactly.
Well, my sister can pass as Jewish sometimes. I'm a little envious of that.
What's crazy is people will aggressively just tell you what you are.
Yeah, you're Nicaraguan, right?
Yep. I'm like, is it free food? Yes, sir.
Yeah.
That's nice.
That's nice. You're pretty ethically ambiguous, too.
That's true. But then
why do we start this podcast?
Yeah, right. Suddenly.
That's true. Oh. Actually, wait. Yeah.
Yeah, I'm so jealous.
Yeah. Wait.
So you're you're the co-host of the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yes, I'm the co-host with Jack O'Brien.
Miles and I spend about 25 hours a day together.
That's disgusting.
In a small ass room. It's not even a joke.
And you wonder how that's possible. It's because we're in that inception dream state where 1 hour feels like 25.
Yeah, it's just never ending. But it's a good time.
Yeah, I want to learn some more about you, but I also want to get into some news. So let's dive into some news first.
Miles isn't Saudi Arabian, so he doesn't know a lot about what's going on in Saudi
Arabia. About things
in
countries that I'm from.
Okay, woke. Stay woke. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, look, it's one world, one country, one country at a time. But no, I've kept up because obviously with Anna in the building,
she will let everyone know.
Oh. Yeah, I have straight up panic attacks in the office, being like,
yep.
I'm sorry. Yeah. You have said that. Yes.
Yeah, I do lose my shit.
I can imagine
sometimes.
That very well. So what there's, I feel like I haven't.
Okay,
been
so we've been tweeted up. People have been okay. So much shit happened in Saudi Arabia, and people be tweeting like, "Yo, can't wait to hear you talk about Saudi Arabia, girls,
and guys."
No, only girls listen to this, and okay. If they are guys, still call them girl. Girls, shit went down.
Down,
so, Mr. Precious Mohammed bin Salman.
MBS.
Yeah,
MBS.
This fool is losing his shit. Okay, now here's In the last 2 weeks, 11 princes, including a billionaire, have been arrested. One guy died in a helicopter accident. Another one died in a gunfight.
Yeah,
trying
very
to avoid
suspect.
Being arrested.
Complete,
a shootout.
Very suspect.
The Prime Minister of Lebanon, Mr. Saad Hariri. Sorry.
Hariri.
Was forced to quit being the prime minister.
it was a forcible resignation.
Yo, you better quit.
Yeah, that's...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's like surrounded by a bunch of princes, like... Okay. Not a visual podcast. So now apparently Saudi Arabia says Lebanon is declaring war against it. Hezbollah has declared war against Saudi Arabia. Saudi Arabia says Iran is sketch. It's a lot of like
Saudi Arabia
pointing fingers.
Needs to fucking just sit down.
Yeah, which won't happen because bin Salman, I think, is really starting to get nervous. And so, like, anyone who kind of, like, looks at him weird will be put in his Ritz-Carlton hotel jail.
Right.
That's where he's holding people in the Ritz-Carlton of Saudi Arabia.
Is that legal to be in such a terrible place?
Yeah, it's, honestly, like... It sounds like, why would you try and go out with a gunfight if you're like, well, I'll just be in the Ritz-Carlton for a few weeks?
Well, because then it doesn't sound like you're holding anyone prisoner. It's like, oh, they're just taking a vacay.
But that's the thing is, like, they're being very open about being held in the Ritz-Carlton. Like, they're putting that's out there in the news.
Maybe Ritz-Carlton is, like, sponsoring the...
Yeah, the power consolidation. Yeah, yeah. They're like, we're out here.
Yeah.
You trying to run your country and got paranoid one day and started arresting everyone who has even a remote bit of, like...
My arrest was sponsored by Ritz-Carlton.
And even if you're a prisoner, they'll honor your points.
Yeah. And if you die, just transfers to your family.
Yeah,
so.
That's great.
Yeah. They're like, yeah, so your husband died at the Ritz-Carlton while in prison.
Oh,
yeah.
No.
And you get a free stay!
Yes! Yeah.
Two night, 2 day stay in a suite.
And maybe a spa treatment.
Yeah. Maybe, if it was like a really bad death.
Yeah, right. It's a scale.
So, Hezbollah is... apparently, allegedly backed by Iran. I say that because I really can't say anything negative about Iran because I still got family out there. So this is one of those biased podcasts, Miles. You got to get used to it.
Hey, look. OJ's innocent. You know what I mean?
Get out of here.
I get it. You know what I mean? Sometimes we got to go to bat.
Mm-hmm. Yes, exactly.
So they're not. So, yeah.
No, I mean, they probably
knows,
are.
Right? Hey, why do we got to talk about that here, huh?
So, you know, it's like Sunni Muslim, Saudi Arabia monarchy versus Shiite revolutionary Iran. Whatever.
Yeah, it looks like small talk.
But the point is, from my understanding, okay, here are my theories.
Okay.
Jared Kushner did an unannounced trip to Saudi Arabia.
Yeah.
One, I think potentially that was him saying, hey, look, Iran, America's got your back. Do what you need to do to consolidate your power. Or, here's my other theory. We talked about this, I don't know,
a couple episodes ago. Yeah.
Saudi Arabia is trying to create their new Dubai called NEOM, and they need a bunch of foreign investors. So that could be another thing. Maybe he doesn't know that Jared Kushner has zero money. And
you think he's
like,
that dumb? He invited the brokest dude?
Yes, like, I do think
hey, I know you're underwater on the most expensive building ever.
Because fucking, like, Arab people are just like, oh, you're American and, like, you have, like, a family? Come over here. You must be rich.
Yeah. Like, also, they're like, I don't think they read the news.
No.
Yeah, they don't listen to Daily Zeitgeist.
Yeah. They literally block out the news. Like, they've like, banned Al Jazeera and, like, every other good news source, so...
Well, the joke's on them. When he's like, oh, yeah, I can get that money together.
NEOM is insane. If you didn't hear about this, Saudi Arabia is trying to make the next, like Arab Las Vegas, which is already existing because that's Dubai. But Saudi Arabia is going to be calling it NEOM with an M at the end, not neon. And it's crazy.
Is there going to be alcohol?
No.
Well, that's the thing.
Really?
They said it's going to be separate from the economy and government. So it's going to be like its own
shit.
World. I don't know what that actually details, but it might have alcohol. It's Muslims. But like,
but even Dubai, like... They have bars and stuff, but it's usually just for, like, the British, like, business people or the tourists that go there. Because my cousin lives there, and most of his company are Brits. And, like, a lot of people in Dubai are British or just immigrants. And they go to bars, but you don't see any Arabs there usually. It's usually, it's like, and if you do, it's like they're socializing. Yeah.
Isn't there something like, you almost have to, like, you have to be a member of the club to then make it official. So it's like, even if you walk into a bar, like, you sign up be a member of
the
bar.
It's like a weird club.
It's like a weird bypass around. Look, I don't know.
You have to get a doctor's note that says, like, you have to drink because you're bored.
Yeah,
I have a prescription for a
boredom.
Yeah.
Boredom and sadness.
What's Jared get out of it on the other end?
Don't think Jared's the Middle East guy, right? In the White House?
I mean, I
don't
guess.
Know
this
why.
Saying,
I don't know why.
I've seen shit.
Just because, like, Trump assigned him that role.
But also, like, when Rex Tillerson, every time #oilboy would go, he was there to just, like, have the Qatari borders taken down and all that shit and try and, like, smooth out that problem.
Yeah. Honestly, I think these guys just go to these Arab countries just so they have an article written that they went to this Arab country and they're like, oh,
right.
They tried.
Right.
Like, you know, like, oh, we are trying to talk to them and this is our effort. Like, I don't think they even, like, do shit. There's, like, they do it for the publicity stunt or some shit. Like, I don't know.
Well, Rex Tillerson, he is, you know, #oilboy. So he, I think, the reason he was brought in to the White House was because of his knowledge of the Middle East and his work there.
Mm-hmm.
But that doesn't translate over to politics, so it's not exactly.
Yeah,
a
not when you're doing
plan.
Business over there, rather than like diplomacy.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
So, hey, look, I don't know what the fuck's going on. I think Rex Tillerson was sent over to like try and
like
do something. Maybe Rex Tillerson was like potentially like fueling the fire. I don't know. Maybe he was being like, yeah,
with
dude.
Oil, fire, yeah. oil.
Oil boy, yep, there it is.
And a real quick update on Qatar. It has come out that UAE is trying to destroy Qatar.
This is an insane article. Anna sent me this article, and my mouth was like agape reading this. It was, hold on.
So UAE plans to weaken Qatar's economy, according to an email account by Youssef Al-Otaiba, which was leaked, according to The Intercept. He's the UAE ambassador to the United States. It says that, okay, so one, we know that UAE was behind the hack that put that Iran is the greatest or whatever the fuck on that Qatar website, which they denied, but then the CIA and FBI came out and were like, and then there was like intelligence that they straight up were having a meeting the day before, like the top UAE officials being like, so we will take down Qatar.
Yeah. Literally, this is a quote. Its objective is to push Qatar's economy to collapse, reduce the value of its bonds and increase the credit costs, ultimately creating a currency crisis that drains the country's reserves. What?
Dude,
just collapse?
This weekend, I watched like an episode of Haters Back Off, and I feel like there's some connection here. It's like, wait. Qatar needs to be like, back off.
Why is everyone hating on Qatar? Is it Qatar or Qatar?
Okay, first of all, what?
Yo,
I've heard this.
People say this on the news.
They say Qatar?
Yeah,
they do, and it's stupid.
Oh,
it's
that's
so dumb.
Anyway.
It's Qatar.
Anyway, why are they hating on them? Because they got the Olympics or the World Cup?
Yeah, probably in 2022. Yeah.
That's also a dark. That's a big question mark for a lot of people, too.
Yeah.
I don't know how you're going to have a World Cup in one of the hottest places on Earth.
No, truly. Also, they have their borders are all shut down, so they have no ability to, like, bring anything in and out.
No, because this document obtained by The Intercept, it further hints toward a plan of stripping Qatar from its role to host the Football World Cup in 2022. So they don't want that publicity there. They're trying to make Qatar into this unreputable,
They're trying to make it an un.
Yeah.
Altogether.
No, because honestly, Qatar needs this World Cup just for tourism reasons and for, like, the economy. And if they want to strip it of that, then that just fucking sucks. Like, you know what? Do you remember fucking China and their World Cup and, like, Brazil? Like, it helps the economy a lot when people go there. And, like, they make it into this, like, tourist spectacle attraction thing. So, and
but
I'm
then all the buildings are, like, abandoned, like, the next year.
Yeah.
With, like, those Olympics and World Cups.
Yeah. They all get abandoned. It's true. And then
like, Brazil, like, yo, all those places are ghost towns.
Wait,
man.
Really?
Oh, yeah. It's bad. Okay. I don't know. I mean, look. Hey, these Olympics, they do bring people. They do bring a lot of tourism, but like,
I mean,
at the cost of like local people.
Yeah, the UAE, I am so sad. Like, why can't Arabs just like stick together? Like, look at the fucking.
Nah, cause Arabs are low key just mean girls.
It's so annoying. Like,
Middle Eastern countries are just like mean girls being like, what did you say? I'll destroy your economy.
But right. Like, we're all such a, every country over there is so small for the most part. And like, why can't we just all rally together, brothers and sisters? Just like we're all in this together. Like, look at fucking Israel. They have, all the Jews have each other's backs. I want to be like the Jews sometimes and have each other's backs.
Yeah, you need to.
One world, guys. One world, one life. What's the problem?
Well, anyway, Qatar Airways got kicked out of the biggest Middle Eastern air show. It's fucking.
Wait, really?
Like, in what way kicked out of the air show?
They're not allowed to bring their new airplanes to the international, like, Middle East air show, which is apparently, like, huge.
It was, like, where everybody flexes.
It goes on
like,
in Dubai.
Oh, really?
Well, yeah. Make a note to cut that. Nobody cares. Okay.
Should I cut out what I said about Israel and the Jews?
No. What? You didn't say anything negative.
Oh.
You said you wanted to
keep
be
this
like
part
them.
In, though, where you're asking.
Here we go again.
Well, people
what,
thought
you
I was
scared?
Hostile.
Oh, yeah. No, we've
no,
been accused
we,
of being hostile
we
towards
got a
Israel.
Review,
of course, but you
we
say
got
anything.
A one-star review saying we were unreasonably hostile towards Israel, and then our next episode was called We Are Unreasonably Hostile. So we know.
We lean
girls,
in hard.
Mean girls over
we
here
lean
too,
in
huh?
hard. Yeah, we're mean-girling Israel. Israel is top mean
no,
girl.
No, mean-girling, you're like, even the people who do that, you're like, okay, well, guess what? This next episode is called fucking
this next episode is called your username, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This username is a fucking, it was a bum.
No, we're just fully aware of everything.
Yeah.
So, like, don't think you can fuck with us.
No,
I'm just joking. We're wait. Basically Qatar in most situations.
Yeah.
Like, stop! Stop!
Can you just back up?
Oh, poor Qatar.
I know.
Well, anyway, Erdogan. Oof.
Erdogan.
Erdogan.
What did Erdogan.
You say? Erdogan. Erdogan?
It's Watagwan.
Okay, the president of Turkey is going to go to Kuwait and Qatar, and then what is his name? Ghana's foreign minister, Shirley Ayorkar Botchwe, is going to go to Qatar. Basically, they're just all these different countries are going to try and, like smooth out
smooth
the issues,
the
but it, that'll never happen if Saudi Arabia doesn't like you, because, like, Saudi Arabia is top mean girl.
It's the topest mean girl. Look at the princes and the Ritz-Carlton, like, what? Like,
yeah, King of Morocco's going. Oh, no, he's already there. Sorry, this reporting is wonderful. Anyway, everyone's going, but this is actually the foreign minister of Saudi Arabia said the beef with Qatar is like non-existent, which is like, what are you talking about?
It's like, you can't deny.
Like, you literally are fucking with everyone in that country. You're making it like impossible for anyone to like get food.
Yeah.
Like, there's people dying of starvation and what's the one where you don't have water?
Drought?
Drought?
No, it's like.
Famine?
I don't know.
Pestilence?
This is the funniest thing. The issue with Qatar is very small and should not distract people, according to the Saudi foreign minister.
Very small, just concerning an entire government's economy and its collapse.
But that's like the classic playbook for people who are doing dirt. Like, you'll never be like, yeah, we're actively trying to destroy.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, no, it's nothing. What are you talking about? It's
small,
all good.
Small fries, yeah, whatever.
Yeah, so, but here's the thing. Lebanon declaring war against Saudi Arabia is.
That's a big fucking deal.
How does that go? Like, Lebanon is like 4x4 and Saudi Arabia is like 100x100 size, right? Are they hiding like a huge army?
They're just also very different countries because Lebanon is very Christian and westernized. Like they're not that. I mean, Saudi Arabia is just more button up and like this Muslim country, and Lebanon has always been like the forefront of Arab music and Arab like entertainment, and just very much a Western country. And I don't even know if it has like a big army or anything. They have like radical groups like Hezbollah, obviously, but Saudi Arabia is, in my opinion, far more able to, like, go to war. Like, I've never heard of Lebanon declaring war on anybody.
They have a pretty strong arsenal.
Right.
And Lebanon is, like, literally the size of my pinky fingernail, like, on a map. Like, even smaller than that.
Yeah, so Rex Tillies, he says that Washington strongly backed Lebanon's independence and respected Hariri as a strong partner of the United States, and they still refer to him as the prime minister. So, I don't feel like anyone is on the same page, even remotely.
No.
Because Tillerson's like, no, Hariri's not being held captive against his will in Saudi Arabia. And then Lebanon is like, well, where the fuck is he? Where is he then? You think he just bounced and then went to Hawaii? Yeah. Like, what do you...
Just like
know.
A spa treatment?
Yeah, have you used Find My iPhone?
Yeah.
Maybe you could find him through there.
He's made no public remarks since announcing his resignation in a speech televised from Saudi Arabia, saying he feared assassination and accusing Iran and Hezbollah of causing problems in the Arab world.
When you have someone making a speech saying they fear assassination, like, they're in trouble.
He's like, help.
They're in trouble.
Please fucking help.
It's like the Hunger Games, like, when, like, the guy is, like, being held captive and, like, remember that part where he has this, like, very tight collar and he's like, I'm fine, and... Never mind.
Sorry, which is it? What is this?
The Hunger Games? When, like,
I've never seen it.
Oh, I shouldn't have seen it.
Oh, no, I'm just...
No, I mean, like, it's just like there's a...
It's just the thing is, like, Fast and Furious is the best franchise, so, like, why would I watch that, you know?
You don't believe that.
She does.
I fucking do believe that.
You're about that life?
I'm ride or die, literally, ride.
Or die.
Or die.
Ride in a fast car or die furiously.
Die furiously.
Yeah.
Tokyo Drift.
Tokyo Drift is the weakest link. Okay, but so that's a quick little Middle Eastern roundup.
And I want to...
Do your thing.
I want to get into Before I talk to you, Miles, I want to just bring up really quick...
Before we acknowledge your presence.
Yeah, you can just stay quiet for a little longer. Syria fucking signed the Paris Climate Agreement. What does this mean? This means the U.S. is the only fucking country that has not signed this climate agreement. And I was reading this being like... Syria is going through some shit.
Syria still has the time to sign agreement.
Like, you what? Like, you signed a climate agreement and we're not able to do that? Like, Syria.
Carbon emissions would rank pretty low on their list of concerns.
Like, I was reading this thing, like, what else do you do? You go to the fucking, like, get the Christmas shopping done? Like, what? Like,
they're like, anyway, so we went to Harrods in London and,
But why this is very important because it leaves U.S. isolated being the only fucking country to not sign this agreement. What is this agreement? It's an agreement that requires global governments to limit temperature rises to no more than 2 degrees Celsius. And this is what scientists say is the threshold of safety beyond which the ravages of global warming are likely to become catastrophic and irreversible.
Which is wild because a lot of serious strife started because of global warming.
Yeah. And,
wait a second. Did they figure it out?
Did they put the pieces
and
together?
The most ludicrous thing is that one of Trump's promises was to withdraw from this agreement. And people were like, and all of his dumbass supporters were like, yeah, like, fuck the, like global warming isn't real. But the fact that they're the only people now that aren't in this agreement just makes us look so stupid. And the U.S. is the world's largest economy and the second biggest emitter of greenhouse gases after China.
Where are you getting these facts?
This is from...
I'm sorry.
From Al Gore? Fuck out of here. All right, I'm done with this show.
But I just thought that was... That's just ludicrous.
Well, climate change denial,
Syria had time to sign this. Like, we do too. Get back from your fucking Asian tour, fucking Trump. Do you see that?
Whoa, slow down.
Did you see that he wore the exact same thing that Hillary Clinton wore to China? Twice?
Yeah, they have him in... There's another one. He wore, like, a white linen shirt.
Oh, my God.
Laid out the Hillary power suit handbook.
Literally... These photos next to each other, like, it's like he fucking made it. It's like, you couldn't make
or these countries
a funnier
are trolling
thing.
Him. They're like, yeah, why don't you put this on?
Yeah. Oh, God, that made my day. The last thing I'm going to talk about is this hilarious tweet yesterday from our president. Literally, he tweeted, why would Kim Jong-un insult me by calling me quote-unquote old when I would never, in all caps, call him quote-unquote short and fat? Oh, well, I try so hard to be his friend, and maybe someday that will happen.
I actually got very nervous that he would tweet that he was short and fat, because then I was like, literally, like, I was in bed last night and I was just like imagining all my windows like blowing out because my nuclear bomb was dropped on us because he fucking
over
tweeted
some
out.
Petty junior high school bullshit.
And two hours before he tweeted that, he said, "Does the fake news media remember when crooked Hillary Clinton, a Secretary of State, was begging Russia to be our friend with the misspelled reset button? Obama tried also, but he had zero chemistry with Putin." So he's implying that he has a lot of chemistry with Putin, and that's adorable in my opinion.
Yeah, pretty soon they'll be going steady.
Yeah.
Yeah, they're buddies.
But I just couldn't, like, literally the article title is just Trump saying, "I would never call him short and fat." And also, you're old! Like, it's not an insult, it's a fact!
And
like,
also, yo, Donald Trump is, let's be real, he's not in athletic shape either.
No!
He got a diaper on.
No one's insulting you by calling you old. Like, that's just a fucking fact. You're, like, in your 70s, man. Well,
but he's so fucking vain, you know what I mean? He's styled his hair in such a way to obscure what's really going
on.
He's
glued permanently to his head, not a strand.
Yeah, the last thing he wants to be called is old. Oh, my God. That, to him, was probably the worst thing ever.
My God, anyways, I just wanted to bring that up, because in all of this, insanity, I had a little bit of a laugh last night.
Yeah.
And now,
nuclear war, LOL.
Yeah. Last night on Earth, bye. Now I wanna get to know our guests a little bit more.
Melandra, Miles. What
Thank
can I call
you so
you?
Much. Whatever you
Your full name is Melandra.
My Christian name is Melandra. Yes.
Thank you so much for coming to the podcast. I did harass you multiple times across from our desk that we shared.
No, you didn't. I asked you if I could come on.
No, you didn't.
Stop fucking I remember because you were so shy. You're like, "Oh, you want to come on the show?" I was like, "Yes, dude." Okay. I remember saying, "I'm like, yo, when are you going to have me on Ethnically Ambiguous?" And you were like, "Oh, really?" So don't come at me like...
Okay, that's probably fact.
That sounds like a very good reenactment, actually. She's like, "Oh, really?"
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, but then I just really had to look at you and be like, "Where is this fool
where
from?"
Where is he? Where
and
is,
then you
where
were like, "You're it? Perfect." I have no idea.
You look like one of those guys.
Yeah, and... Yeah, and Hasan Minhaj was busy, so... No,
yeah.
I get it, man.
It's like, oh, yeah.
I mean, it's not a prerequisite that you have to be ethnically ambiguous to be on the show, but it is a great bonus.
Yeah, I mean... Yeah.
I'll be real with you, we don't really have non-ethnically ambiguous people on the show.
This is only like our third or second guest.
It's our third guest.
Who was our second guest?
We had Alex Bordyakov from
Alex,
The Bachelorette.
Alex,
and we had Soraya Sebgati from Night
Talks.
Then
we had Sarah June. You're our fourth guest.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Yeah, yeah.
Dope.
Four.
Factual.
Great
four,
number.
Four,
I love
four.
It. I'm all
four,
about
four,
444.
Four.
Yeah, yeah, great tour. Just,
all right, so we had two Persians.
You're
our
second
Russian,
male. We're going to go boy, girl. Girl? No, it's been girl, guy. Whatever, it doesn't matter. Gender is irrelevant.
No, gender is very important. Just kidding.
Just a construct, Anna.
Miles
exactly.
Is a they.
Thank you.
But no, so I want to... So I know nothing about you, which is on purpose because I want to get...
Yeah, well, I know nothing about you, so... We even.
I like...
And we
I
got like Miles Gray in the booth.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I like getting to know people on the spot and having the audience learn with me as I ask you questions.
Yes.
So let's get into it.
I have a bunch of...
Start the timer now.
Okay. Miles, where's your mother from?
My mother is from Japan, specifically Niigata, Japan.
Nice. And where's your...
On the West Coast.
Father from?
My dad is from L.A.
Yes.
So you're a halfy.
I'm a halfy.
You're half black and half Japanese.
You're a half breed.
I'm Blackanese.
Yes. You're a half breed.
The original Jigga.
Okay.
Let that settle in. Because I've been saying that and most people go, okay.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what Shireen did.
That's how it works.
Mm-hmm.
Let that process.
So tell us about your mom coming to the States.
My mom coming to the States. So my mom grew up in this town called Niigata, and her...
Which originally was supposed to be bombed by the...
Yeah, was supposed to be atomic bombed, but thank you to weather,
Wait, really?
Yes.
Because of the weather?
Yeah, the weather, yeah, they had to switch targets to Nagasaki. So
That's disgusting.
Yeah, my grandparents were living there at the time, and like they didn't have anywhere to go, so they were just like, all right, cool.
I just can't believe that they're like, oh, the weather, it's cloudy over there, let's just bomb this other place. Oh my God.
Yeah, the weather played had a lot to do with like the...
Miles is on the
yeah,
show now.
I'm here, thanks guys. So
that's
you want to
so
keep talking
upset.
About how weird the weather is?
sorry.
No, it's all good. And her dad was a professor of like German philosophy, which is really out there.
Mm-hmm.
And so like she always kind of was encouraged to like, you know, do whatever you want to do. So at like 19, she took the Trans-Siberian Railroad,
whoa,
like across Russia.
Holy
to
shit.
Holland, and then took a ferry across the English Channel and went to London. And
started, dude, she like, sounds like a
English.
Badass.
Yeah, this is like in like the, what, so she's, it was like probably like 1970s.
Just by herself?
Yeah, just by herself.
That's fucking amazing. I love that.
And she didn't know she had to bring like food on the train. She was like, I don't know. She just thought like some food fucking appears on this Trans-Siberian Railroad. But she was like in the same like bunk cabin as like this like older Russian woman. And she was like breaking her off with food. Oh. So shout out to that anonymous Russian woman for
yeah.
keeping my mom.
Wherever
so.
You are, yeah.
Yeah.
Shout out to you.
She's probably listening.
She's probably
dead.
She's probably dead. Yeah, yeah. Straight up. Let's be real.
Sorry. Can you explain where the Trans-Siberian Railroad goes exactly?
No.
Do you know?
Okay.
I know, like, she... Because it's like that one side of Russia that is basically closest to the Pacific Ocean.
And we can Google right. that,
yeah.
probably.
You can Google that. I'm not a expert.
Okay,
but
well,
basically,
I mean, like...
takes it basically the length across
yeah,
Russia, and
yeah.
then numerous trains, basically.
So, like, how did she get to the railroad? I guess is my question.
She had to take a boat.
Oh.
From, like, Japan. To, like, Russia. Like,
got it.
Or maybe...
Damn, that must yeah. have taken, like, the whole trip must have taken, like, months.
It was, like, a 2.5-week trip or something like
oh,
that.
That's
or
not,
2 weeks.
Oh, that's not as long as I thought.
I mean, it was the 70s, so, like, they still had, like,
yeah,
you
yeah.
know, rail... Like, the train travels relatively...
It wasn't, like, horseback.
Speed.
Yeah, okay.
No, yeah. I mean, the boats are, like, that
carriage.
Slow. Yeah, it's not like yeah. she was, like, yeah...
The Oregon Trail or some shit. Yeah.
yeah, she had, like, dried bread, like, in her backpack. She would rehydrate.
She took a boat from London to...
No,
from the Holland to London.
Yeah.
I did that.
Yeah, Hoek van Holland?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
well,
actually very nice.
Well, look at
I mean,
you.
It's probably been upgraded, but...
That ferry's
nice
great.
I took it, yeah.
You still haven't told us about your mom coming here.
Oh, and then, you know, she, like, palled around Europe for a little bit, and then she went back to Japan and was, like, fully bilingual and then, like, was doing translating work. Like, she's...
Bilingual in, like...
Japanese and English.
English,
yeah,
okay.
yeah. And then she also, like, picked up, like... Like French and Italian because she lived in France and Italy for a little bit too.
Nice.
And
that's so cool.
When like bands would come tour in Japan, she was like, she like slowly made her way to being like that translator.
Ooh.
Was like cool enough to kick it with bands and like, you know,
that's
translate
cool.
for them. So she used to like translate for like Queen and like
what?
Fucking Rick James and
that's
shit.
That's so dope.
Yeah,
Rick
yeah.
James, he was just like cocaine.
She's yeah.
like, wait, I have
she
a question.
Like, yeah, I mean, you
I have
get
a
my
question.
Perm, yes.
Is your mom an only child?
No, she's one of four.
Oh,
yeah.
Interesting. The youngest?
She's the youngest, yeah.
Interesting.
She is the youngest.
Hmm.
What's your theory there?
Oh, I don't know. I was, she's just so independent and like, she sounds so cool. And I was just trying to think of what kind of...
She's tough, dude.
Yeah.
She, yeah.
As you have to be.
Yeah. Well, especially in Japan, like it's very misogynistic culture. Like
yeah.
she's
right.
not having it.
Yeah.
And, yeah. It's funny because like, oh, I was just like hanging out with her. And we were talking about all this shit with Louis C.K. and stuff like that. And she's like, you know, in Japan, like, it's such a male-dominated society. Like, that stuff, like, she's like, I feel old because that seemed normal.
It wouldn't even be questioned, probably.
Yeah, exactly. Whoa. But she was like, I was the wrong one. Like, when people tried it, like, I didn't give a shit, like, what job I was in. Like, I was like, I'm out of here.
She
or,
had
like,
a switchblade?
She didn't even need one.
She has, like, very...
she kept the razor blade under her tongue.
Have you guys seen Peaky Blinders? With the fucking
yeah.
the razor yeah. blades on the hat?
Yeah.
Like that.
Boom. But, yeah, yeah. So she's very independent. Doom, doom, doom. That's her whole thing. So, yeah.
When she walks into any room, that plays in the background.
Yeah. Or, no, she carries around, like, a little Beats pill.
Right.
Just plays it, and she's like, doom. It looks really whack, but...
It used to be a boombox, and then, like, yeah. like, the years went on.
I
like,
just got her a Bluetooth
yeah.
speaker, because she was still carrying around, like, the mad
yeah.
boombox. I was like, yo, you're not a 1980s break dancer. Like,
your arm hurts. Yeah.
She's still wearing the Adidas tracksuit, though.
Is she?
No.
Oh, that's kind
so,
of
so, okay, so when? How old was she when she came here, and where did she go when she came here?
She came out here, I think, in her late 20s,
mm-hmm.
and just came to L.A., because that's where,
oh.
like, she was doing, like entertainment correspondent stuff, so she
Dude.
Would, like, report on stuff on behalf of, like, Japanese magazines, and then,
that's
like,
really
write
cool.
her articles about, like, what was
did
happening
Did she work
in
for
LA.
Any magazine in America? Or just, like, she was, like,
no.
freelance and all
she
over?
She was always, like, writing for, like, Japanese
did
magazines.
So she came here with the intention to move here?
I haven't really talked about, like, what her explicit intention was, but, like, she knew she always wanted to live in English-speaking countries. So,
oh,
like,
cool.
when after she lived in England, she was like, oh, hell yeah, I'll come to the U.S.
Yeah.
And then was able to keep doing, like, doing interviews and things like that, being able to use her bilingual
mm-hmm.
talents.
When she speaks in English, is it with an English accent?
It's, like, weird, yeah.
yeah.
It's, like, a Japanese accent, but, like, with a British
yeah.
twinge.
Touch, but, like, you wouldn't yeah. know because it's not that explicit. It just, like...
No, because it's funny words. Because when you learn English, either in Britain or from British people, like my cousins that live in Dubai now, they speak English with a British accent. Like right. it's crazy. Like and they didn't used to, but then like the more you're around it, just the more just interesting. To
yeah,
me.
You pick yeah, it up. Yeah. Yeah, but hers is like it's yeah, like I guess compared to people who learn English here. It sounds slightly more British, but to me, I don't know. I can't really pick up on
All right,
it.
Now let's stop there. Now tell us about your father.
Oh, God, yeah. My father. Oh, well.
Whoa, this sounds interesting.
Does this turn into a bed? So I can
Wait,
no.
What?
No.
Let him go.
Yeah, let him go.
Let him go, please.
let him self-implode here. No, my dad, he grew up in L.A.
What part?
Like Baldwin Hills
okay.
area. Like, yeah, all just sort of in that Crenshaw corridor.
Okay.
And so he went to so my grandfather, was like an entrepreneur and like did a bunch of all kinds of stuff. Like he pressed records and like bootleg tapes though. Like
yeah.
So if there was like a hit song, he would have like other artists like just re-record it.
Like now.
Pay them whatever.
Now this is.
Yeah, like exactly. But like the real, I mean, I still haven't heard one of those tapes, but that was kind of like the business model there.
Yeah.
And he was actually one of the first self-made black millionaires.
What?
Yes. Shout out to
him. Oh, so you rich?
Not really. Yo, this, the economy got hit. Kind of hit him, you know what I mean? And my grandma had a tooth for the luxury goods.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So
like she dreamt all her life of getting a Coach purse. And
then, yeah. Well, not that. She like Gucci. Purse. She was like, where my Gucci at? So yeah, they had, you know, he's not destitute. They're still alive. Shout out to Carmen and Warren. And yeah, my dad grew up in L.A. with a brother. So my uncle and. Yeah, he always wanted to be like a photographer. Like mm-hmm. he started shooting for Rolling Stone when he was like in high school.
Your dad?
Wow. Yeah.
That's so cool.
And so like he was kind of like contemporaries with Cameron Crowe in that era.
What?
And was always like shooting photography. And, you know, my dad has so many interesting stories, like just about coming up like in LA with all like the rock scene and things like that. Like he used to.
So is that how he met your mom?
Wait for
so,
it.
So well, no. Anyway, he used to.
We'll get there.
Oh, okay. He used to live with Iggy Pop.
Mm-hmm.
What?
Was one thing, and dude almost killed my dad
because
he was
naturally.
He was so fucked up. Like he was trying to who knows what, like maybe cook dope on the stove or something, and like left the gas on.
Mm-hmm.
All
Holy
night and he passed
shit.
Out. My dad got up in the middle of the night and the house filled with gas. He was like, what the fuck is going on? And like when he woke up, dude almost like lit a cigarette and he was like, and like turned all the gas off. He was like, yo, you gotta go.
Oh my God.
Iggy, you're out of control.
Yeah, or by that, at that point he was Jim. He's like, Jim.
Jim.
Fuck out, Jim. And then.
That's a very different vibe, calling someone Iggy Pop and Jim.
Jim, yeah. You know, to the homies, he's Jim. And yeah, he's always been shooting photography. And then so he was like Michael Jackson's personal photographer for a little bit, like
what?
From this in the late 70s to the early 80s. And that's where I met my mom, was like at a. Like a release party for like a single or something.
That's so dope.
Yeah. And my mom was covering the thing, and my dad was like, "Yeah, I'm the photographer. What's good?" You know. And
what's your mom's name?
My mom's name is Yukiko.
Oh, that's
Yukiko.
Right.
Or Yuki.
Yuki
for
Yuki.
Short.
Yeah. What's your dad's name?
Todd.
So Todd was like, hey, Yuki. And Yuki was like, oh, hi.
Oh, hi, Todd.
Hi, Todd.
I don't know.
Let's do some role play.
Yeah, reenactment. Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be my mother.
Bring it back.
Yeah, I'll be Todd.
So are they still in L.A.?
Yeah, they're still in L.A.
Cool.
Yeah, they're separated. They got separated when I was like 17.
Right. Okay. Yeah. So when your parents met, was there any sort of like issue with your grandparents of your father
right.
getting together with
nah.
Japanese woman?
No, nah, because my dad used to date like all kinds of like women growing up. So my grandparents okay. were like used to him bringing like all like black.
Well, what about
women.
On your mom's side? Like, did they?
No,
nah,
well, already like my grandparents were like already very curious about the world outside of Japan. Like, but my grandfather was like a German philosophy like
right.
expert.
Right, so they were very open.
Yeah, they lived in Nazi Germany for a second.
Oh, that's
Holy
right.
Shit.
Like my grandparents did.
So they didn't even question that she was with a black man.
Nah, they were. I mean, no.
That's awesome.
They're very like really really open minded. So
yeah.
like there's not that.
That's so refreshing.
Thing.
That's so.
Yeah,
refreshing.
Yeah. They like they met and they were like, oh great, this is great, this is great. Like so it was not like and
yeah.
I think my grandfather had like a couple offhanded like World War II jokes maybe like,
oh,
like nothing too crazy, but like you know. But other than that, like he's not. My grandfather's like the most open-minded dude. So,
oh, yeah. your mom's dad. You're saying
But both grandparents. Oh, both. My dad's dad. He's very like open minded.
So awesome. Did your dad ever go to Japan with your mom?
Yeah. Okay. They did.
Cool. Yeah. Where'd they get married?
They got married, I think, here in L.A.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wait. So, do you have any siblings?
No, I'm an only child.
Oh, that's cute.
Yeah.
How's that?
Lonely.
Yeah.
One hit wonder.
Were you an accident?
No. I think they were like, because my mom was a little bit older when she had me, so they were crying.
Like the last chance.
Last Chance Saloon. Rolled the dice. Shot the club up. Boom, boom, boom. Here we are.
Yeah. So you grew up in L.A.? You went to school in L.A.?
Yep, grew up in L.A.
Where in L.A.?
In the Valley. 818 San Fernando Valley, North Hollywood.
Right, little known fact, Miles was in a rap group with Shia LaBeouf in high school.
What was it called? It's called the Element Crew.
Element Crew?
Yeah, the Element Crew.
How many people were in this crew?
It was me, J-Boy, Low Pro, Shia, who was Rap-I.
Rabbi? Oh my God,
Rap-I. I said J-Boy already, Golden, myself.
What was your name?
I was just Miles.
You were really creative.
It felt pretentious to me because like I was already rapping, like I was like selling cocaine in the hood. Like a lot of my like weird rap lyrics were like about gunplay and like cocaine.
Oh,
yeah,
because
I was like, yeah, exactly. Like growing up, mad middle class in the Valley, I was like, yeah, man, like I'm tumbling cane, like I'm able to. I'm like, yo, easy. You struggle to find your identity at some point, and you're like, and like when the very popular conception of like blackness is like cocaine rappers, I'm like, yeah, that's me right now.
Oh my God.
Yeah, so. I was just Miles because I didn't want to be like,
you could have been like Kilometers or something.
Or like Prime. I used to try and tag that back in the day.
Prime. Then Amazon sent a cease and
I should hit them with one. Because they weren't about that life in like 2001.
So how did your parents feel about you rapping?
They didn't care. My dad's an artist, you know, so like they were always.
They both seem like very creative people.
I'm so lucky because they always just. All they did were be like, do whatever you want to do.
That's amazing.
That's so different from the typical immigrant parent.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Yeah. I mean, look, I had to get my grades right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, like, that was without question. But it's good. They incentivized, like, get straight A's, you get video games.
That's amazing.
Yes. So I was coming, I was getting like 102s on tests.
Nice. Like, we don't know how he did it.
Yeah, they're like, we don't know how he did it. We don't know
what
how
did you
did
play
it.
Growing up?
Oh, everything. Role-playing games, puzzle games, fighting games, like just, you know, it's like a typical teenager growing up in the 90s.
No, my dad used video games to kind of like keep me and my sisters indoors, so I played a lot of video games.
I've played it all. Played them all.
That's interesting. My parents would not buy us any video games, so we would go outside and play.
I mean, we did play a lot when we were growing up, and then my dad, I think, realized that like, oh, they can stay here and just be at home. And then he was like, this is great.
My dad was like, no, I don't buy you games. You go outside and entertain yourself.
Yeah.
So, like, we were always just playing sports.
Well, see, even when I was playing video games, right, it was just, like, PlayStation was, like, the most hype thing by the time, like, I was in high school.
Yeah.
So, games weren't, like, at that level where they are now. There's, like, online play where, like, you could literally waste away.
It was, like Final Fantasy. And
yeah,
like,
exactly. Shout out Final Fantasy VII. Great game.
Oh, my God, the best.
I think I'm going to buy the remastered version.
Yeah,
shout out to Osama bin Laden.
Did you play Zelda?
he had Final Fantasy on his. Yeah, exactly.
Wasn't that a lie? Like,
he had it. It was one of the things on his hard drive.
Yeah, he had a lot of
video games. I thought you said it was like a fake thing.
No. I was saying that Brandon Wardell thing was fake because he did some myth busting for us.
Well, also, just not even myth busting. Those videos came out like way after 2012. So anyway,
the hard drive wasn't a myth. the hard drive
was real. Yeah. And he did have loose change on there. So, and then what else? But I did play outside a lot because I always wanted to play like basketball or ride my bikes and just like, you know, blow firecrackers up by the LA River.
So you grew up in LA, which is already kind of like, I don't know, like more diverse than other places. But when you were growing up, did you feel like, did people ask you like what you were a lot or like did they like?
Yeah. I mean, it's weird because like a lot of my, I guess, yeah, as I started going out into the world outside of like my school friends, because like they just knew me. So like I maybe had to explain my ethnicity like in first grade one time.
Yeah.
Until I got to high school. And they'd be like, oh, you Filipino homie? You Cambodian homie? You Samoan homie? And I'm like, no, man. Black and Japanese. And I'm like, where do they hang out? And they're like, you the only one. Cool. And then the Asians were like, yo, this dude's black. And then I go to the black kids, like, this dude's Asian. So I was like, well, where do I, all right, I'll kick it with the white kids. No, but I actually, because I took, like, all my classes were all over the place. Yeah. I was accepted by all. But yeah, there was always the, some people would just, like, automatically assume I was Filipino. Cause that's, I mean, it's in the valley too. There are a lot of Filipino people. Yeah. So like, mm-hmm. it's, yeah.
And did you go to public or private?
I went to private school.
Okay. Interesting. I don't know what's more open or what's more accepting, public or private. I feel like
In LA, the public schools are trash.
Right.
Like, not that anyone who goes to public school is trash, but like the level of education, yeah. especially like where I was living in the Valley, I could go to North Hollywood High School. But if I really wanted to get like a good education, I'd have to get in the magnet program.
Right.
And then at that point, like, my parents were pretty focused on keeping me like in like a good school.
Mm-hmm.
So they put me in like the cheapest private school that was like the Catholic yeah. school that was all over the place.
What did you do after high school?
What did I do after high school?
Yeah.
Went to college.
Where'd you go?
Went to UCLA.
What'd you study?
I studied history.
History?
Yes. European history.
That's cool.
Taking after your grandfather.
Yeah,
well, he was a philosophy dude. I did take a couple German Enlightenment philosophy classes just to kind of be like, oh, what is this? And I was like, yo, philosophy's way too cerebral for me.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, I took history because when I got out of high school, I knew I always wanted to do something, like, unorthodox. Like, I wasn't going to be an accountant mm-hmm. or a teacher or, like, anything that required, like, a degree for mm-hmm. me to, like, get gainful yeah. employment. So I was like, I might as well just study something, like, I like. That way I won't just check the fuck out and just be like, whatever, right. these are my classes, get it done.
I'm so, yeah, curious, though. Like, so you grew up in L.A. and you still stayed in L.A.? You didn't want to leave?
All my friends were here, and I knew that I was probably going to do something in entertainment mm-hmm. industry thing out right. here. And I think also I was probably just more, it was comfortable,
right.
too, and it was probably easier to just
rationalize
that. You
probably
do
your laundry at your parents' house and, like...
Well, then I had like a, you know, my little apartment and I did, the laundry machine was right across the hallway.
Oh, nice.
And I lived right by KFC and I used to look out my window to people. This is such an aside, but the weirdest thing was you see people go through the drive through and then park immediately in the parking lot to eat their food.
Wait, what?
Yeah.
I've done that.
People do that a lot.
Wait,
I was
really?
Surprised. Yeah. To me it was very foreign because like, yo, if you're going through the drive through, it's cause you're high and you're taking that shit home to eat it.
Yeah.
Or,
sometimes you can't wait, and you don't want to look at anyone. You don't want anyone to look at you.
Yeah, I guess. And also, like, I also just don't like to go into a fast food restaurant yeah. to, like, order at the counter. I'm like, let me... then I'm like, order all these things. I'm like, I got kids in the car, man. It's not just for me. But, like, I'm so smacked that people are like, this is all for you, sir. But, yeah, I didn't... you know, it was interesting because I got to travel a lot, too. So when I wasn't in school, like, my mom took me to Japan. Like,
well, that's awesome.
And
so you had a good connection with your family in Japan.
Yeah, my mom was really.
Do you know any Japanese?
Oh yeah, I'm pretty fluent. I got two.
Because your mom was the only person.
I took a year of Japanese in college.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah, I did.
Oh wow.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, do we want to switch to?
Nope.
Put your okay, podcast to subtitles
it
on.
It was hard.
I don't know.
It was good. I liked learning it though.
I grew up just hearing it, so I didn't have to really learn it.
Yeah. Right.
Luckily, so like we'd be like, oh, that's so cool, you're bilingual. I'm like, dude. They're just taught. It's not like I was like studying this shit.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. It was like when I was learning German, I was like, God, learning a language is insane. It's insane that like I just knew how to speak Farsi.
Yeah.
Like
same
it was
here.
Just second nature to me. Like I don't even think about it. I can just speak it.
Yeah.
And then you're like out there trying to like do grammar and fucking German and you're just like
what
fuck?
Is this?
And then, and then you go to like, when I go to Syria, I just start thinking in Arabic.
Yeah.
And it's like crazy. And then my friend who was trying to learn Arabic in UC Davis. It was like all this, like even me, it was like grammar and like all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't even think about this stuff. It's just in my head.
Yeah,
like
about I just talk
structure.
Like this.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. 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 Cause you're like, how do I do this? And you're like, I have never had to think about it like that.
Yeah.
It's just instinctive.
Yeah.
Yeah. Get your kids talking at a young age.
But I do think it's when you learn a language growing up, when you're bilingual growing up, it's easier for you to learn other languages. So like when I went to Russia a couple summers ago, I just like, you pick it up.
She went to Russia. Was she flipped? I don't know.
You stole the words right out of my mouth.
What?
I already kind of started leaning away.
Hey!
I don't know what she did over there.
No, mm-hmm. Moscow was
Were
great.
You compromised?
This whole time.
Look at her outfit. Yeah. She's very utilitarian right now.
Yeah. I'm dressed as like Kim Possible or something.
You do have a Kim Possible on a mission
look. I looked at myself when I was leaving and I was like, oh, I should just go on a safari or just become Kim Possible. Yeah. But it is... No... It's I think when you grow up bilingual, you just pick it up easier. And I think everyone should just grow up. Well, it's crazy because in Syria and a lot of Middle Eastern countries, it's required that you learn English and French right. and German. But here, it's not even required that you learn Spanish, which is ludicrous to me. Like, it has to be, I think it's...
Well, in California, it's taught.
But it's not required.
It isn't?
No.
You can it's required to take a language, but it's of your own choosing.
When I was in school, it was like, you can be in band or you can take a language.
Here, like in elementary school, I think they teach some basic Spanish, like in elementary schools here.
We didn't learn anything.
They have immersion schools, which you just learn everything.
Did you learn Spanish in school in the Bay?
In high school, I took Spanish.
But they never taught language, like,
it
in
wasn't
K
required.
Through 8
no.
or anything?
No.
Oh, well.
Isn't that a shame? That's a shame.
But then you just pick it up from your friends anyway. Mm. Like, I've picked up Spanish by osmosis.
Yeah, but we're also living in L.A. in Southern California.
And I know I can't functionally express myself. I can, like, express my basic needs. But conversational Spanish is
But also, you were raised bilingual, so I do think it's easier for you to pick it up.
Oh, yeah, and they say, well, if you accent-wise, like, people who speak Spanish, they speak Japanese with a really good accent.
Oh, really?
And Japanese people speak Spanish people, because there's, like, a lot of R rolling and things like that. Like, the sounds are different. So it's weird. Sometimes you'll see, like, Japanese people who, like, are struggling with English bust into Spanish, and you're like, what? Okay.
Huh.
Finessing the accent.
That's interesting.
Whoa, that's a trip.
Yeah, it's a really interesting thing.
Two worlds.
You know, Arabic is really similar to Russian. It was the sounds.
Well, that's also, Farsi is very similar to French.
Yeah. You say merci. Weird. Yeah.
Yeah, merci, cravate. Like, we say a lot of the same words.
So when I was in Russia and I was, like, trying to, like, speak Russian to my friends, Russian friends, they were like, oh, your accent's great. And I was, like, thinking about it. And it's because, like, you use the same muscles in your throat and everything.
Right,
right. Like, the same, like guttural, I took linguistics classes.
Guttural?
No. There's certain
major sin gluttony
terms for each part of your mouth and what you use it for, but whatever.
Yeah, that's why my French is so good, even though I don't speak like a single word of French. I just know how to say je m'appelle.
Oh,
I know how to say croissant.
Croissant.
Boom, just crushed it. I thought it was croissants.
Croissants.
Okay, here's the thing about Miles. He's real dumb.
I can speak two languages, but like, yo, go put those French words in front of me, I'm like, it's a wrap.
So after college, what'd you do?
Yeah. After college, what did I do? Well, I...
Oh, real quick, question before that. Your parents did not say anything about what you majored in college.
Yeah, I was going to ask that too.
Like, they weren't like, history? How's that going
to
make money?
No, they're just like, make sure you take your ass to college.
Okay, that's all they needed.
They didn't care what you studied.
No, because they knew, like, I was always a weird kid. Like making weird videos and, like, making music. And they're just like, this kid isn't going to be some, like...
Right.
Buttoned up 9 to 5.
I'm just curious, but why did they want you to go to college?
Because they're like, you can try and do all that and pursue your career, but if you do not, you need a fallback plan,
right.
Which is like, and if your ass doesn't have a college degree, like in the way the economy functions now.
So they're realistic.
Yeah.
And they're also just like, go because you need to just challenge your thinking. You'll meet other people. It's just a good thing to do.
So
when I did that, they were like,
that's a good way to see it. It's a good thing.
They were
to
separated
do.
At that time. Right?
They were separated, but I had always been encouraged to go to college, like from the beginning. So, yeah, they were just sort of like, you just need a plan. Like, as long as you have a backup plan of having a degree, like, go pursue whatever you want to do, because they know, like, I think they trusted that I wouldn't like pursue something to the end of the earth and then like be like, hey, I'm still working on that rap album. Don't worry, Dad. Like, I know the sound is mad dated now, but like, it's gonna catch. Like, I think they knew. They're like, look, if it doesn't work, then at least you can be a teacher,
right?
Because that was the other thing I felt realistically I could do. Like, I really looked up to my like in high school I had this AP US history teacher who totally like opened my mind to history and like how important it is and how it can explain nearly everything.
Yeah.
So I just kind of I'm kind of like a very curious person and I like a know it all. So if you know history, you'd be able to...
A lot of trivia.
Yeah, no. a lot of trivia.
Dude,
yeah. And just bring up useless facts.
I play crosswords all the time, and history comes in handy. So
yeah, and you're like, oh, the Edict of Worms?
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, wow, look at you. So yeah, that got me into it, and I thought like, oh, well, at worst, like, I think I could live with being a history teacher,
because
I can still like perform and like get my opinion across to just like kids.
Perform, that's kind of funny.
Yeah.
You saw yourself as a performer.
Yeah, what's up, kids? Like, let's talk about Nicholas Biddle versus the Binks.
Okay.
You'd be one of those teachers
who's
like
graduated.
Making raps.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My biddle for shizzle.
Yeah. So after you graduated.
After I graduated, I worked at a t-shirt store.
Okay.
Mm. Well, actually, no. After I graduated, I didn't do shit for a little bit. You know what I mean? I was just like loafing around, like being like, oh, fuck.
Like post-grad depression.
Yo, it wasn't even depression. I was just so confused. Like, I just didn't know what was going on. And it wasn't like, and it probably was a form of depression, but I was never really down about anything. I was just like, oh.
What now?
Yeah, like I felt like a, you know, like when you're in academia for so long, like your entire life,
right.
And then you're just like, poof, like booted out into the real world without that structure.
Yeah.
It was very interesting, like what I did with my time at first. Was like, well, now I can get mad high at 8 a.m. and then watch TV.
Because I can.
Yeah, till Maury comes on. Then I'm like, okay, it's getting late. Then I'm going to go get something to eat. And then like maybe I'll try and like go like sell some weed or something. It was just, it was a very, I was, you know, I didn't quite know if I wanted to go after entertainment full force or what. And, you know, when you're young, I just felt like, oh, I have time to, like, figure it out and, like, sort of really just procrastinate.
And your parents didn't say anything? They were just kind of letting you coast for a little?
Well, for a minute, they were like, look, we know, because by that time, like, the economy was about to fully crash. So, like, jobs were not really, like, out there to just be like, hey, I could be an intern at a so-and-so company because they have so much money. It was, like, very different. So that was one thing that caused a lot of uncertainty was the economy at that time.
Right.
And then, so basically I was like, look, I just got to get my ass a day job, like either way. So I worked at this like place making like custom t-shirts, like with like heat transfers.
Mm-hmm. That's fun.
And we would just do like, it was,
did you make yourself a lot of t-shirts?
So many fucking t-shirts that I still have that like, I look at.
What are some of the good ones?
One is like, I made one for my friend. It said, don't believe the hype, but it was in the shape of a cross.
Ooh.
Wow, fix it. I was like, yeah, homie, like I'm making statements out here. Other ones, like I would just put like stupid numbers like on the leg of a sweatpant. It was cool because like my friends would just bring over blanks and I could be like, yo, I can put anything on here.
Yeah.
Like because we had numbers and things. So
that's
really
a creative
like,
outlet for sure. Right?
Yeah, but like it wasn't, I'm not really like the best visual person like in terms of like design. Like I like video and things like that, but like I'm not like a great design, like aesthetics kind of person. Yeah, so I did that for a little bit. My boss, like, did me so dirty. My paychecks were bouncing. I was like, oh, this is trash.
Mm.
Then I started just doing, like, you know, PAing on shows and shit like that. And then I started working in politics. And my friend Allie got me to work on, like, this ballot initiative for clean energy, like, back in 2008. And we were working on this thing called Proposition 7. It was to get the energy mix up to, like, I think 50% by, like, 2025 kind of thing. And we got crushed to shit because the utilities just outspent us in commercials and just like flamed the campaign. And like, that's when I realized like, whoa, like, cause the whole time was so idealistic. I was like, yeah, like this is good.
Yeah.
Like this is clean energy. Like we can fight global warming and like, it's very easy. Like we just have to stop using coal. And then when you get like just totally smushed out by like the powers that be, like that was my first real lesson of like, wow, like you can actually be on the right side of an argument, but because you just don't have the money, like people can just completely change the narrative on you.
That's a big like wake up call.
Yeah, it changes your head a lot. And it was interesting because that was also the year of Obama's election. So it was like this, you know, I was very idealist. I was like, oh shit, like yeah, we got Obama's
we were all hyped. We were all hyped.
Yeah, I was like, we're about to get rid of clean, get this dirty energy. Yeah. Nah, well, it was a bittersweet night. Like our proposition got smashed, Obama won, and then I started working for this political consulting firm.
So you became a lobbyist?
Yeah, doing like consulting, like oppo research, campaign stuff. So I would have to travel to like work on weird campaigns that like our donors would be like, we have to make sure this person stays in office. And go out there, do some, you know, kind of underhanded stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Like I had all kinds of different business cards and just be like, oh, I'm from this organization. No, actually, today I'm from this organization.
Classic lobbyist.
You know, classic dark.
How'd you feel about
the underside
movie,
of politics?
Thank You for Smoking?
I thought it was great.
Of course you did.
Beautiful movie.
How long did you do that?
Till 2011.
And then you moved to comedy.
Then I moved to comedy. So, like, I was watching the Vancouver Olympics in 2010, the end of 2010, I think, or beginning of 2010. And I was just, like, I just saw so many inspired athletes that I was like, man, I need to do my thing.
Yeah.
So I got into, I just knew I was going to do comedy and, like, politics was not the thing anymore.
That's interesting because you came from progressive parents who were like, do what you want. And then you got into like the one job that would make any immigrant parent happy, which is like working in politics.
Oh, they loved it. Like, yeah, my mom loved it. My mom loved it. She was telling people basically I was Obama. Yeah. Like, no, chill, mom. Like, I'm so low on the totem pole. Like, not even close. She's like, you know, he met Nancy Pelosi. And I'm like, okay.
Well, it's like my parents. I met fucking like years ago. I was a PA for this commercial with the, who was it that my mom was like obsessed with?
Rafael Nadal.
Oh, she loves James Franco. And I did this commercial and I met James Franco and she told all her friends that I was like working with James Franco. And I was like, I just got him lunch. Like, I didn't do shit.
Like, and what is he like? Yeah. Is he going to put you in the next movie? I'm like, what? Yeah. I brought him his Subway.
If I told my dad I was going to, like, seriously, like, my dad is always like, Anna, you must get into politics. You are a great speaker. And it's like, I just don't speak with an accent is your point. Doesn't make me a great speaker.
Look at you now. You're speaking all over.
Sure. But, like,
orator.
I struggle with remembering a lot of very simple words. Like, I mean, maybe, you know, unfortunately, it is the amount of weed I've been taking. It's really fucked my vocabulary up over the years. But, like, I'm no politician. Like, you can put me in a room, but I can also zone out for 20
that's
minutes
funny.
And come back and not realize where
like,
I am.
Anna, what do you think? You're like,
Yeah, exactly. Because my mom really wanted me to be, for a minute, like the next, like, Judge Judy. Like, she was like,
she's like, television.
Oh, like, no bullshit judge. Yeah.
She wanted me to do that. Because my sister was a doctor. She was like, this one's going to be a lawyer.
Yeah.
And a judge.
And a judge, yeah. And a superhero.
Yeah. And it's like,
and she'll work with James
Franco. I thought about it too.
Yeah, but I was brainwashed for a straight minute, being like, "Yeah, I'm gonna be a lawyer." Like I was on the debate team in high school, like crushing it.
Debate is dope.
One day I was just like, "Hell no, I'm not gonna go be a lawyer."
You know what I realized? I looked up what law school entailed, and I was like, "I'm not doing this." Like this.
I think I realized it when I was like reading like the debate arguments where you'd have to go and like pull arguments, and I was just like, "This shit is boring."
Yeah, like, I don't want to rebut any.
I looked up what it meant to like become a judge, and it was just like, "You're gonna be in school for 25 years," and I'm like, "Pass."
Nope. Yeah.
Hard pass.
I hated school. Anyway,
I'm glad I'm not in school. People are reminiscent, being like, "I miss being in school," and I'm like. No, like, I can teach myself stuff. Like, I don't know. I'm not really a fan of the education system.
Yeah, I kind of realize, like, I'm not structured for school. I'm more of, like, a get my hands dirty out there doing bullshit.
Yeah, it works better, I think. And, people are wired differently. Like, I have friends who just thrive in academia.
Yeah,
and
same.
Those are the people who typically do become doctors and lawyers because
my sister, I
can keep this, like, school, year-round, the school thing going. Great. Like, what's the next
thing? You put one of those people in, like, a high-pressure situation, though, that they are not structurally used to, they get fucking one of my best friends, Jenny, shout out Jenny, I know you're listening, girl, she's a lawyer for the ACLU right now, and I remember when she was graduating law school, she was just being like, the fuck do you do out here now, like, getting a job is hard, and I've been out here like, I don't want to freak you out, fill your jacket
up with as many ketchup packets as possible, we gotta go,
I don't want to stress you out or anything, but like, can I do laundry at your place?
I'm out to use yours.
I live with my sister who's a doctor, and I came home literally like last week, and I had stolen, I don't know why I'm admitting this, but I had stolen like a, just like a new bottle of soap from one of these offices I went to.
Wow. Just out here like,
because I was like, it's good soap, but it's expensive, and I was like, I'm just gonna take it. And my sister like saw me when I came home, she's like, you stole soap? And I was like,
you don't know what it's like out here.
I was like, it's a victimless crime. Yeah. Get up off me.
Stealing from corporate America's okay. Do you know what they're doing out there to the little people?
That's what I say.
That's problematic. You shouldn't be doing stuff like that.
Well,
don't get caught up one day.
Whatever, man.
You see your face on the news, like, she stole a desk, a printer.
And she admitted it on her podcast.
Lots of people find you, you get clapped up over soap.
You're going to be up on Twitter being like, your company's like, Sharina, we've been listening to the podcast. And we're going to need the $24.99 back for that
soap. Please do not mention Myers soap ever again.
Wait, do you know about... It was Myers.
Girl, because that's
see it
the
in your eyes. I saw it in your eyes.
The aromatherapy one?
Yeah, because you're like me. I was like, what's a good soap? I'm like, yeah, maybe it's still the Myers.
Hey,
so don't worry. I got your back. to a certain extent. So I get pulled into the mess. But I feel you.
I need to buy new soap. I'm not going to go to, I mean, like, if it's there, whatever, man.
But also, you know, I mean, let's be real, Myers isn't that expensive. Like, there
it's
are real, ones.
It's like $5.
Yeah, there are ones that are like crazy, like ones I've never heard of.
Oh, for sure.
But those ones are so nice. They don't even register to me how nice they are.
No.
To me, Myers is the highest. I'm like, ooh, they got the Myers.
I saw this brand that was like amazing at this place I went to, and I was curious, and like weeks later, I looked up the brand, and it was like literally $30 for a bottle. And I was like, who buys this soap? Like,
people have money to burn.
Yeah, I guess so.
That's like the kind of, like, that's what your parents want you to be at.
Yeah.
Like,
Judge Judy buys that soap.
Yeah, Judge Judy.
Yeah, you're like, what? I don't even use it.
It's like, I just
drop it on the ground.
Yeah, and somebody cleans it up.
Yeah.
I'm trying to give somebody a job. Now clean this soap up.
Damn. So your mom is from Japan. That's a country that's had some serious tensions with
America.
Let's bring
it back in. Yes.
And you're from Iran.
I'm from Iran.
I'm from Syria.
We all had some tension in our background.
Oh, man. One of my best homegirls in high school is Syrian.
Yeah.
Shout out to Melissa Hodeb.
Yeah, I know her.
Oh, you do?
No, I don't.
No, you don't.
I was about to be like, what is the Twilight Zone theme song? She comes right in. We're like, Miles, we have to speak to you. Then we all get burst up into space. I'm literally free associating at this point.
Okay, sorry, tensions with America.
Yeah, so you're from this country that currently...
I'm not from there. I'm American, son.
Okay, see what I mean? See what I mean for these people?
These people! Hey, the Pepsi!
Breaking everything in here.
Damn.
Yes, anyway, but I am Japanese and American.
And black.
I mean, luckily you don't...
And, you know, also partially Native American.
Damn, trying to get those tax credits?
No, what happened was, you know, after the slaves were freed, like, there was a lot of mixing between Native Americans and freed slaves. And, yeah, like,
oh, you're talking about fucking?
Yes, okay. Fucking.
He's talking about sex.
Yeah,
S-E-X.
Talking about sexing. Interracial sexing.
Does your dad look ethnically ambiguous, or does he look black?
Nah, well, my grandma, she's, like, they're really light skin on my grandma's side. Like, they're Creole. Mm. But also, like, dark aside, like, her great-great-grandmother was like raped by like her white school teacher.
Oh my god.
So, I mean, that's a natural course of history. When I get that 23andMe, like I will see a little Caucasian in there.
Yeah.
So, I've done that.
Yeah. Oh, have you 23andMe?
Yeah.
Is it lit?
I don't know if it's worth like the money. I mean, like for me, I feel like it's worth it I was expecting to learn all the stuff about myself, and I did learn some stuff, but
it was like, you're Mexican. You're like, what?
It told me I was like part of me is like for like a like North African and then Turkish.
Yeah,
and,
North African, I can
and
see that.
Like Eastern
Europe.
Eastern European.
Yeah, so it's not like suddenly it's like and Chilean.
Yeah, it wasn't like anything strange or anything. Yeah. But it was interesting because I've always known I was lactose intolerant, and it's like my mom is too, but then it was like told me, I was like, don't eat lactose. And I'm like, how does it know?
Middle Easterners tend to be lactose intolerant. Yeah. Like I had to actually, I couldn't, it's really weird. Like I can't have like cold milk.
What do you mean cold?
Yeah, I have to like drink hot milk.
Oh.
And I'll be fine. But most lactose, I'm
severely, me and my mom, my older sister, we're like severely lactose intolerant, like almost to the point of an allergy, I would say. But it also told me that I was vitamin D deficient, which is true. Because like me and my dad are, and it's, Middle Easterners are also vitamin D deficient, like genetically sometimes. So it told me some stuff. And I think if you have the money, you should just do it. I don't know what company is better, like it's a 23andMe or like Ancestry or whatever. But like
either way, I know 23andMe is having a sale.
All you have to do is just like spit in a little tube and send it back. So
boom, and the mystery solved. Yeah, so
mystery solved. You're black.
Exactly, you're black, or who knows what else. But yeah, so I think I hit like the trifecta of like countries and people that have been mistreated by the United States.
Yeah, like, so, you really have. You
got them all.
You're an official minority.
Yeah, exactly. Just need to convert religions and I'll be like, I'll hit them all.
You're the model minority.
Thank you so much.
Islam?
Yeah, what's good?
If you want to be ostracized,
I love the food. I love the food and I love the birthday song.
The birthday song?
Tabalo, tabalo, tabalo,
tabalo.
Wow, you were death raised in L.A.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
That's Farsi.
Okay, I'm sorry. Yeah, I don't mean to confuse the two, but I'm saying, yes. Like I said, yes, I am open to anything.
That's really funny. That is raising in L.A.
Shout out to the Dotsatan family who put me on.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, remember you telling me.
What being Persian is about.
Persian, yeah. You were raised with a Persian kid.
Yeah, grew up with, and like in high school too.
And you had a Syrian friend.
Syrian friend. A lot of Armenian friends too, because I played hockey. I was like
the only Syrian in my school.
Well, really?
me and my sisters. And then there were family friends that came like years after us that were younger. But when me and my sister were in school, we were the only Syrians.
Mm.
Yeah.
Sorry. Did you find that people were racist towards Iranians in LA?
No.
No, you didn't. Because I had a friend who grew up on the west
side. Well, like, in a weird way, like, it would be like, it was always about, like, driving a Mercedes.
Right.
That was, like,
that's
the
not
extent.
A bad thing to be
No,
racist
but I mean, like, that's
towards.
What I mean. That's what I'm just saying. Like, that would be the extent yeah. of, like, someone using a stereotype about someone's, like,
right.
ethnicity.
Like, oh, you rich.
But
you're
there
like,
was no, like,
oh, a Beamer today instead like, of a Mercedes?
But you didn't sense any, like, actual, like, real angst. Because I had a friend who was raised on the west side, went to Hamilton, shout out Evan Davis. Probably shouldn't shout him out about this, but.
He was racist.
And he was always telling me, like, yeah, like, there was, like, this crew of rich Persian kids who would come to parties, and then him and his friends would have to fight them and kick them out because they were like too out of control. Some shit would go
that
down.
Like a,
and there
like
was like a
situation.
Real like on yeah. the street, like all shirts
that
off.
Sounds
like
that's a high school
fight.
Beef. That doesn't extend yeah. to the rest of the city.
But he yeah, said it was like a vibe he got is that there was like some like low key just like racism towards Persians in LA.
Oh, I don't know if I've ever heard that though.
I don't know. It's weird. No. I could be, you know, insulated maybe.
Yeah.
For the most part, I feel like Persians in LA are really accepted and like really like.
Yeah, they're like part of the mix yeah. up of like the main ethnicities that are in this
That's
city,
one of my
which
gripes.
Are like.
It's like Arabs are so similar to Persians and we're not fucking. I feel like we're. Persians are just far more like liked for whatever reason.
Well, it's like Persians got Westwood, Arabs kind of got a little more like Glendale, like that.
No,
area.
That's Armenian.
That's Armenian.
Is it?
Yeah. I think the highest concentration
Arabs
of Armenians
Arabs
outside
nothing,
of Armenia
man.
Is in Glendale.
Arabs have nothing. They have OC. They have OC.
Okay.
Yeah.
Persians have the OC too, unfortunately. Well, Persians all over the wow. place up in California.
Yeah.
Well, what Arabs have...
we have nothing.
No, Arabs have... what's that city in Michigan?
Detroit.
Dearborn. They have Dearborn hard.
Oh, really?
Dearborn's a heavy Arab community.
My dad was going to move. When he moved here, he was deciding where to move, and he went to Detroit, and then, like, I don't know what country.
Wait, where did you grow up?
I was born in Anaheim, and then grew up a little. We moved around a lot. We were not very well off, so we moved around a lot in Southern California, like Westminster, Riverside, Corona. We went back to Syria
Circle
for a minute.
Circle City, huh?
Yeah, we went back to Syria for a minute, and then we came back here, and I went to middle school and high school and a little bit of elementary school in San Diego.
Oh, okay, cool.
Then me and Anna met in UC Davis.
That's factual.
Up top.
Yeah. But I grew up, I was raised in Orange County. I still have family in like Orange County, so.
Hell yeah. Circle yeah. City, you know?
Circle
Corona.
City.
Good
yeah,
place.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is. Circle City?
Corona.
Oh, wow.
Only for a minute. Like, my parents had, like, an apartment in Corona and then Westminster and, yeah, whatever.
Damn, they had
around.
A nice come up. Now they're in San Diego chilling.
Now they're in San Diego, yeah.
They're like, yeah, we started out there, but, like, now we
No, my
Diego.
Dad.
Now we here.
Did I ever tell you his first job was the graveyard shift at a gas station?
Dude, my dad, too. Coming here to America. Worked in Chicago straight. Like, I remember he took me to, like, the corner of where this gas station was, and I was like, You worked here at night? He'd be like, yeah, you know.
You gotta do what you gotta do. Yeah.
And then he like worked in like coal mines and then, yeah, we gotta wrap this shit up.
Yeah.
But yeah, my dad worked every job.
Yeah.
He's like, I was a truck driver in Wyoming for a minute.
Damn.
Like, why? He's like,
Wyoming?
Why not?
I don't know.
Yeah. Wyoming? Why not?
He told me like how he like really started how he like smoked weed for the first time. It was all these truck drivers sitting around him like passing the joint back and
I'm
forth
trying
around
to get
him,
my dad
just, like,
to smoke weed so much.
It's really,
he would
blow
love
it in his face.
My dad would love weed. I think he would benefit so much from it, but he's such...
Just chill the fuck out.
He would... my God. I'm so envious.
Why wouldn't he smoke weed?
Because he doesn't drink and smoke weed. Is very like...
Because he looks at it as like a...
He's
a
Muslim.
Yeah.
He's a Muslim man.
But my mom, I mean, like...
Slide him an edible.
My mom asked me to get her weed chocolate when I went to Colorado before it was legal here. She was like, I want to try it. Give me some chocolate. And I was like... Okay, and she tried it, and she was like, well, whatever. And then I was like,
she's like, that's not as lit as I thought.
Give it to Baba, like, please, just like, let him get high. Like, whatever, but.
She wasn't into it?
She was into it. I think she just didn't eat that much.
She's like, yo, I ate everything in the house. Your father's asking questions.
And also, do you hate me?
Yeah, that sounds really
true. Were you guys talking about me behind your back for years?
What? No.
Am I fat?
She's just like, damn, mom, you ate too much again, didn't you?
Yeah.
Get him a Korova edible. Those shit's so potent.
I just
he'll
think
take
he,
one bite, he'll be black.
Because he has, like, anxiety, and he, like, he's better now, but for a while, I was like... you would benefit from weed.
Oh, get him the CBD then. So it's not psychoactive.
Exactly.
So if he's mad anxious, he won't kick off the...
He would never... I don't think he'd ever try it just because he's like... He doesn't want to say he's ever done that. Even though he smokes cigarettes. So it's like...
He smokes cigarettes?
Yeah.
Girl.
My whole family smokes cigarettes. And my parents now only smoke like one or two times a day. And so when they go to the doctor, they tell them that they don't smoke. And I was like, that still counts.
Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Yeah. Low-key, I tell my doctor I don't smoke. Because the one time I did tell a doctor I smoked, fool brought it up every fucking 5 minutes. Like, I was like, okay. Knowing I smoke is a privilege, not
okay,
a right.
Okay, doctor, thanks for looking out for my well-fucking-being, yeah. Asshole. Now, let me be.
Also, it was showing up on my, like, website charts being like, problem, needs to stop smoking. Like, I was like, you motherfucker, just fucking spread
it. Like, nah, quit. I'm good, man. Never smoke again.
Yeah. Now I always just say non-smoker.
See, it's banned, it's a patch. Yeah.
I'm straight lying about my health. That's probably why I'm dying.
I just, I can't believe we've been talking for so long. I feel like this is a really good conversation, but we have to wrap it up. Time flies when you're having fun.
It does.
And Miles, you've been a great guest. It's been so nice to learn about you.
Thank you so much.
Your ethnically ambiguousness.
Precious.
What a precious man.
Precious. Thank you so much. Based on the novel Push by Sapphire.
Book was about Miles.
And, let's
do this again.
Let's do this again.
Well, we'll see Miles.
Hey, let's stay friends.
I mean, y'all are going to see each other tomorrow, so it's like...
I am.
No choice.
Yep.
Where can people find you, Miles?
Oh, wow. Where can people find me? I'm everywhere.
KFC in the parking lot.
KFC. Just watching.
Judging your ass if you just do that quick drive through the parking lot U-turn. I'm on social media, Twitter, Instagram, @MilesOfGray. And check out the Daily Zeitgeist.
Yes, I produce that. Miles hosts it with Jack O'Brien.
I have nothing to do with it, but listen to it anyway.
It's a fun time.
It's chill.
It's daily. We do it every day.
That's an insane time commitment. I'm just going to say that.
It's a lot of work.
Yeah.
It is. But somehow we do it. It's not as crazy as it used to be. Yeah, we're really getting the hang of it now.
That's great.
Yeah.
Good for you guys.
Thank you so much.
And good for you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me, for real.
Thank you.
Because, like, when I heard Ethnically Ambiguous, I'm like, hello.
Just like,
yeah, he was trying to get my attention for weeks.
I'm like, we're like,
oh, now you admit it.
Ethnically Ambiguous. I'm ambiguous.
Like, do you see me? What am I? You don't know.
You don't know.
And I kept being like, Jack, you need to tell this man that sits across from me to stop looking at me.
Is this the same guy from yesterday?
He looks black. Yesterday he was Asian.
He was Asian. Now
you're Blasian.
Blasian.
Okay.
One last question. Is your immigrant family very affectionate? Like, is there a lot of hugging?
I make them be affectionate.
Right.
Because, Japanese people definitely, like, when you're a kid, they're like, oh, yeah, like, they're mad affectionate. And then as you get older, like, you kind of just drift apart. Mm-hmm. But, like, I've really made a point to, like, hug my mom and, like,
same.
Everyone else, even mm-hmm. though they're like, oh, like, sometimes I'll hug my aunt in Japan and she'll act like, oh, my goodness, a hug.
The touch of you.
Yeah, it's like crazy. Like, they love it. It's like, whoa, a hug. So, yeah, that's more of my American part. Like, I can't.
Cool.
I don't let that. It's like, you
I
know,
can relate to that for sure.
Yeah, I don't want to, like, I have to hug everybody. Like, my aunts, my uncles.
So, that's a good message to go out on. Hug everybody.
Hug
love
your family.
Your family.
Yeah.
Love your family.
Even if they're, like, weird and immigrant-y and, like, don't touch me.
I literally hugged my grandfather.
Don't touch anyone.
And he started crying. Like, you have to hug your fucking people, you know?
So. And he cried. And that's when they realized, they're like, this is a good thing.
Yeah.
Even though, like, some people were just, you know, culturally were just kind of raised to, like.
And he was, like, laughing, too. He was just like, wait, what are you doing? And then, like, I saw him later and his eyes were watering. I was like, So hug your fam. Love your fam. And
it's a great message.
Listen to Ethnically Ambiguous.
Yes. So, Shereen, you gonna bite that ass?
I bite that ass. Bye.